Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Her own life experience of substance abuse, a debilitating car accident, child abuse, loss of her own child, cancer at 18, and again at 48, all became catalysts for Kate to help others beat down the doors of defeat and focus on creating a truly amazing life. With the help of some dynamic individuals who've also overcome life's challenges and truly came out stronger, Kate promises to bring listeners an inspiring hour of power filled with humor and insight. Join Kate and her weekly guest as they share their secrets, what almost brought them down, and the inspiring techniques we all need to make our lives epic and spread the juiciness of hope. Now, here's your host, Kate Hennessy.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Get Focused Radio. I'm so glad to have you here. Every time I hear that intro of me, it makes me think that, oh my, I've had such a desperate life. Well, you know what? In many cases, and at many times, I did. And it was through research and understanding that there are a lot of people who suffer from very many different things. Sometimes we don't know it for a long, long time. And thank heavens there is a lot of help out there to get you through the really bad, patchy times. So I'm hoping that when you join the show for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be touching on mental health awareness. And, you know, this is a topic that is obviously has great personal meaning for me, as I'm sure it does for many of you out there, with my own personal battle and having two members of my immediate family who've also dealt with depression and bipolar diagnosis. This can be a difficult thing for families to deal with. So stay with us today. Today we're going to be speaking with author Rachel Pappas. Rachel is a health writer for lifestyle magazines, national trade publications, and newspapers. She has a website at www.oneuponcancer.com. She teaches therapeutic writing at cancer support groups and teaches college writing classes. And she also presents at the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Today we're going to be speaking with Rachel, who has written a book detailing her diagnosis with not only cancer, but being bipolar, and her daughter's struggle of being bipolar also. In her book, Hopping Roller Coasters, Rachel shares the most intimate and often very painful journey of both her and daughter Marina. So Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have you. And I know that you have so graciously offered our first two callers in. If you would like to call in, we would love for you to share perhaps some of your journey, some of your struggles. Please feel free to call in and speak with Rachel and I. You can call 1-800-930-2819. And Rachel has kindly offered to send out to you a signed copy of her book, Hopping Roller Coasters. So that's 1-800-930-2819. Hope to hear from you. And again, Rachel, I have to tell you, your book was so inspiring, just so inspiring. But it really felt like it was a difficult book. Was it a difficult book for you to write?
In some ways, yes, it was. And I'm sure you can imagine you've had quite a roller coaster rides yourself.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, aptly named that, the title of the book. I mean, it's because it really was. Let's go back to the beginning, though, because when you start out in this book, what a normal life, in quotes, I'm doing that with my fingers, normal start. You have great mom and dad. You meet a dreamy guy. Your childhood seemed what I would observe as very normal, that the first part of your book. So go back there with us and give us a little inkling of how your ride began.
Okay, actually, it wasn't overly normal growing up. I didn't focus too much on the growing up because there are just so incredibly many different dynamics I could have pulled into this. It was normal in that, you're right, it was a loving, supportive family I grew up in. I did grow up in a family that was there for you in a heartbeat, but there was some screaming and some anxiety, and I'm not blaming anybody for anything, but that's how I grew up and that's who I became. And I did, my husband, I know obviously the way I wrote it, and it's true, had a great man. I mean, he just knew how to laugh, how to play, and that's what I kind of liked about him. I could put my hair down, so to speak. I could chill a little bit, but I was still who I was, and who I was a person with a mood disorder that had not yet been diagnosed, and of course it had escalated as life added on, became a mother, you know, became a partner in a marriage, which even when they're great, their relationships are work, right? So I guess when... and your observation is good because the escalation did not start until, I guess when it really comes out, it's not too much after I have my daughter.
Right, because as you were growing up, that you would probably, were you just looked on as a bit of a moody kid, a normal, you know, moody teenager then? And
a sassy child. I was with mom and dad. You know, I could have a little bit of a bite to me, not mean, but, you know. Yeah, so I guess they never really, my parents, I don't think, recognized it. Honestly, they had some issues themselves, my mom especially, and I wish that she would be willing to get help, and still at age 79, she's doing better at pulling the reins in on her own, but I think it would have helped her to get help. And so many people, as you know yourself, obviously you know, you talk to people all the time, professionally and in your personal life, I'm sure, did through your journey. People don't always talk about it. People don't always recognize it. People aren't always willing to get help.
So do you find, looking back, when you kind of, now that you've come to this part in your life, and how brave are you to write the book with your mom still alive? I think a lot of us hold back because of the little bit of guilt that you don't want to make them feel bad, so you don't perhaps put everything out on a plate as you have. Looking back, and you see that your mom may have had some struggles too. Were there other people in the family, now that you have a clearer, you know, way to look back? Did you see that there? We didn't have any diagnosis back then.
Pardon?
We didn't really have diagnosis back then, right?
There was some of it in my family. There was certainly some of it prior to my starting my own family, yes.
Yeah.
The story focuses more on my family. I guess it's important to have some background to know that, yes, there was some of that. And had not gone diagnosed or treated. The first one to actually say, hey, something is wrong with me and I'm hurting my family with me, and I'm not trying to be the hero because my family loves me to pieces, other children. But I was the first one, and probably my generation is the one that's most willing to face it.
Right,
and quite frankly, as you know, many people from any age don't. But little by little, more people are coming out of the closet, so to speak.
Exactly.
And you said something about, you know, brave to write the book. Honestly, yes, and in the beginning, I was leaving a lot of my dirty laundry out, and I realized this is not going to be a powerful story unless I really tell it. Mm-hmm. So I really told it. And my daughter was the bravest of them all because of so much that I exposed, so to speak, of her. And, of course, I got her permission first to do it,
absolutely.
And for me, it was almost cathartic in a way, even though it was somewhat painful. It was a way to get it out. It was a way to put it genuinely down on paper what I thought and felt and wanted to pass along to my daughter as well. Basically, an apology, because I, like you know, you had said in the introduction, it was both of us that had a mood disorder, bipolar. I'm calling it a mood disorder because the diagnoses change depending on which doctor. Most of them call it bipolar for both my daughter and me. Some just say mood disorder, you know. But so do you want me to talk a little bit?
Yeah, what I'd like to do is I want to take us back to when you and Paul got married. And if he had any inkling there, you know, you come across as a very vibrant, vivacious woman, but there are parts in the book that are almost like little red flags that as you're writing it, a person outside can kind of see, like the dynamics that you have at times with people that you're working with. That I found very, very fascinating, that as you're writing this book, you have these, what I would consider kind of odd dynamics, but for you, it seemed as though you were the one that was completely normal, again, and your people that you were working with looked at you as though there was something a little off. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to come back and talk about you in the workforce and what it was that your concept was and what actually was going on. So stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk to my special guest, Rachel Pappas. Please feel free to call in, 1-800-930-2819. Love to hear your thoughts, and we'll be back. Explore more with Hopping Roller Coaster. Stay tuned.
The drums are going tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melody.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power filled with humor and insight will have you screaming yes to your life. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
The call for activation has been sounded. Will you step up to answer? I'm Vila Lucas, and I'm here to empower you to break through to the greater you. Using ancient mystery school technology adapted to our modern times, I will guide you to the next level of your greatness. The time is now. Let me, Vila Lucas, be your breakthrough connection. Connect with me today, thebreakthroughconnection.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
We are back on Get Focused Radio with my special guest, Rachel Pappas. Just before we continue, Rachel, I want to make sure that people know how to contact you. I know that you do have the website at oneuponcancer.com, and that's the number one, uponcancer.com. Is there anywhere else that people could get in touch with you to order a copy of the book?
Sure, they can email me if they want.
Great.
RachelPappas5@gmail.com, and I'll spell that R-A-C-H-E-L-P like Paul, A, PP like Paul, AS like Sam, the digit 5 at gmail.com.
Perfect. That's great. So when we went to break, we were talking about, you know, this kind of slow beginning into finally getting some sort of diagnosis as to what you felt. I guess, I don't know, even at the time, did you feel there was something wrong with you?
Oh, yeah. I could tell that I had way too much anger inside of me and that I was not able to control, that I wanted to, but... And people tell you if you want something bad enough, you can do it. Well, I'm sorry. It wasn't quite that easy.
No.
And I probably knew, I can't even say when.
Well, there's no doubt that you absolutely adored the baby. That you, when you had Marina, you so wanted this child. There's no doubt about it. And that's one of the hardest things to read in the book, that you could be very mean to her. You actually could be very mean, and yet the love that you have for this child is just, it that must have been a battle for you.
It was, and it's hard for me to say that to people, because a good mother is going to say, if you love your child, you don't call them names and scream at them. You just don't. So don't sit there and say you feel bad. So it's hard without, I don't think, truly knowing the story, knowing me, and knowing other people with similar dynamics to realize exactly what you say, and I'm glad that it did come across to you, that you did see it. There's no one or thing I loved and still love more than anyone or anything than her, but I just had this rage I could not control, and I tried everything I could think of inside of myself, and when that wasn't working, started seeing therapists, and then the next therapist when I couldn't get anywhere with that one, and then the next one, and then psychiatrists, and probably a couple dozen different drugs, and I finally, actually, I'm still getting help. I'm doing much better, but I'm still getting help, and I recently started with a new psychiatrist, because my last one, who I'd seen for about 10 years, said we've exhausted drug options, so I went to a new one who said, and in between, I've tried a lot of herbs as well, and I walk and run and have tried meditating. I can't slow my mind down enough for that to work yet. But so the last therapist, a psychiatrist I saw, said, I don't think it's bipolar. It's clearly a mood disorder, but I think it's something else. I said, what's it called? And she said, we don't really have a name for it other than, in so many words, she said, a very, very overstimulated nervous system.
Right. And you can certainly see, I mean, you're constant reaching out to get help, to not just let it go when you were dealing with Marina and having the issues with her. You were constantly trying to find help. We're just going to take a call. We have Reverend Greg Anderson from Springfield, Kentucky. Reverend Anderson, are you online?
Yes, I am. How are you? Great radio. I've been sitting here listening and enjoying it.
Well, thank you so much, and welcome to the show, Reverend. What do you have to tell us about? Did you experience this yourself or in your family?
I go through a great deal of frustration, and sometimes there's a stigma in frustration, also depression, and there's a stigma in some circles of Christianity. Oh, you got the Bible, you have Christ, you shouldn't be depressed. But I just can't see it that way. And in fact, that makes it worse. Mm-hmm. And
because you're supposed to be the one we go to get help.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But yet, let's look at it this way. I have been a prison chaplain. I've been a news reporter. I have seen the worst of the worst. I covered a fire that where 27 kids mainly were burned up on a school bus. I have seen planes land on fire at the Cincinnati airport where people were burned up. And I see all this as a prison chaplain. I used to see, it was just horrible. So unless we can get something to do to relieve it, it just builds up and builds up and builds up. And I've struggled with depression all my life. And for people who don't understand it, I have a very common way to describe it. There's guys up in the brain, and you got to realize this is a very layman's description, that carry messages from one side of the brain to the other side of the brain, and they're very intense, and they want to get the job done. But then there's a part of the brain that's like an ocean that they can't swim across it, so there's not enough boats up there. So when they don't see enough boats to carry one message to the other side, they get irritated, and they get frustrated, and they get depressed. So that's why I see a great deal of depression. There's just not enough boats up in my brain to carry these messages.
Go ahead, Rach.
Reverend, because I actually described it somewhere, and actually it's even my book, that at one point when so much was happening that was going on, this time, by this point, my daughter was in really serious trouble emotionally, and was in and out of hospitals, and five schools in 5 years, and cutting and running away, and all this was going on, and I was in the middle of this really intensive meeting with her therapist in school, and I'd said, it's like trying to swim across an ocean with arm floats, blow up arm floats. So there's the ocean thing. It's like this vast ocean, like you said, it's just there, and it's overwhelming at times. And
yeah. Well, I think that's a perfect word for this whole concept is overwhelming. And I think exactly, Reverend, what you just said, that's what happens to people. They get overwhelmed, and there isn't something immediate that helps. And sometimes you just want to bury yourself up, you know, and become reclusive, because it's very, very frustrating when, as you say, Rachel, people are saying, well, I don't really know what it is. You have something, you know, and whatnot. Thank you so much, Reverend. I really appreciate you calling in. And we have a book, a signed book, Hopping Roller Coasters, going out to you for being our first caller. So thank you. And we appreciate you spending some time and calling in and telling us a little bit about that.
And good luck
to you,
and
God bless
you. Doing good things, says
God
the Reverend.
Bless you too.
I wish
thank
you well. I wish you all well.
You
Thanks
too.
So much.
You too.
So tell me a little bit more, Rachel. I know we've got some other people on the line here. We'll get to them probably after the next break. Tell me a little bit about your dynamics, because I kind of jumped ahead of ourselves, about what happened with you and coworkers. Did you make friends easily when you were at work, or were you a bit abusive?
Well, really, the story, I think the big relationship thing is with my daughter and me, but I'm at work. I'm very intensive, very, very intensive in my work. So when I come to work, I get on my computer and I zero in, and I work usually through my lunch and or late, and I just don't break. And I didn't join the water cooler gang, the ladies who hang out and chat. And I probably came off intensive. I didn't mean to be rude. I wasn't rude, I don't think, but I probably came off intensive and different. And I was not amongst them. I was not one of them. And I'm, from the way you asked your question, I think you're going to think that I'm seeing things maybe slight, not the whole picture, and perhaps I'm not. But honestly, what I saw, and this is what happened, they started making fun of my clothes, calling me names, refusing to work with me. Like, one of them decided that she no longer, she was the administrative assistant and I was the communications manager, and she no longer wanted to maintain a database, and so she left it for me to do. It became my job, and she was my boss's second hand. So it became my job, and I was fine with that, but I needed, without going into too much detail, she wouldn't work with me in the transition, and then she made it look like it was me not working with her, and it was, she totally made something up about me to my boss, and I was not one to go to my boss and complain, because she, the dynamics were such that there were two other women in the department who had become very close friends, and they'd become very close with my boss, and my boss was not one who was comfortable with conflict, and favored them. She liked that they were friends. We were this happy family, only I was on the outside.
Sure.
So they would make things up about me and go to her, and I would say nothing to her until she came to me, and then I would tell her exactly what happened, and she'd investigate and find out it was the case. But meanwhile, the dynamics didn't change. They didn't like me, you know, so I just stayed there. I stayed on my computer, zeroed in on my computer, and the conflicts continued, and after 3 years, I was fired. I was told that the job description had changed, which it had not. There was one other person in our department, a male, who I had stayed friends with, and he had told me that, no, of course the job description didn't change. That was the reason she told me to let me go.
Right.
So what do you want to know about what you think I may have...
Well, what I got from the book, and I think that this happens in most family dynamics, is that at one point your husband, Paul, kind of said, you know, you won't say anything or stand up for yourself there, but when it comes to family, you had no problem, you know, getting fired up at him or getting fired up at Marina. And I think that my take on that is that we don't worry too much about other people. We don't want to step on their toes because we try very hard to fit in. But when it's family, you know that no matter what you do, they're going to love you unconditionally. I think that's the feeling that you have. So even when, you know, you kind of let go and get angry, you're more apt to do that with your own family members than you are with strangers, really. And it's kind of an odd dynamic that we'll kind of go after our kids or our husband and yet let other people kind of walk all over. We're going to have to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Marina and her struggle as she became a teenager and your amazing willingness to let her go and try and get her some help. So please stay with us. We're going to be back with my very special guest, Rachel Pappas. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness.
Takedown, our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
We're back on Get Focused Radio. I'm your host, Kate Hennessy, and I have Rachel Pappas here talking about her life and Hopping Roller Coasters, her great book. When we left, we were just going to have a quick chat about, or not a quick chat, but a chat about Marina and the fact that, you know, especially she was your only child. So one child, you're really focused on that one baby, and here she was hitting the dreadful teens. And initially when I was reading Rachel, it almost sounded, she sounded just very, very much like any other teenage girl. But then you could see the signs that you had seen all along. And you were able to admit her into hospital and to send her to special school and whatnot. I mean, that must have been so difficult for you.
It was. It was. But honestly, we reached a point. If I had heard before any of this happened that my child was going to have as many hospitalizations, be in as many schools, and have as many things happen as did, it would have just freaked me out. But taking it step by step by step, trying everything I could do, we could do on our own, and not being successful at getting for her what I want, once we were finally offered this help, it was like, thank God. No, someone's there. We've been handed our lifeboat by the time we actually reached that point. But yes, and it was also hard. That's actually a very good question. It was hard, even though we wanted it. It was hard. I mean, to when she was sent away to about her third or fourth school, you know, I'd look out the window and see the other kids in the bus stop, you know, laughing and high-fiving each other, and I could hear him from across the street snorting and laughing. And for her to not be there with these kids that she grew up with, you know, from kindergarten, we moved into the house we're in now in kindergarten, when she was in kindergarten, and for her to not be there with them and off at this other school in lockdown was painful. You know,
yes.
It was like, this is where she needs to be. Someone is here. Someone's helping her. We're going to get better. This is what we have to do to get there. But it was hard. It was hard to see her not in the mainstream, so to speak.
Well, of course, because as a mother, as you and I both are, the one thing that we want, and you may not actually say it out loud, but when that baby is born and you're holding that newborn, what you want more than anything in this world, you want that baby to be normal. You're so happy that you can see it's got all its appendages. That's the first thing. And then you literally pray, so let her be normal. Like, let this just be the fairy tale life I'm dreaming of, where she'll grow up. She might give me a little bit of attitude in her teens. She'll meet the most wonderful person. We're going to have a big, beautiful wedding. Then I'll have grandchildren. And before and in between all of that, there's nothing bad. You want normal so bad. When your child is not normal, a mother has to take a whole different journey along there. And when you're also not normal, when you also are struggling, there's a whole lot of dynamics going on. You know, we've got Madeline from California online. She's been waiting patiently. And just before we take Madeline, would our dear Reverend that called, please call back into the studio and speak with Brian and leave your email and address so that we can send you Rachel's great book, Hopping Roller Coasters, because you're going to love it. So welcome, Madeline, to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
I have had two sons. My first son was diagnosed as bipolar when he was 21, a senior in college. And after a seven-year struggle with it, he took his own life at age 27 in our home in Manhattan Beach, California. I have since written a memoir about it called Leaving the Hall Light On, about his struggle. about our struggle trying to get him help because of him being an adult. It was hard for us to get him into the hospital and get him treatment because he resisted so strongly. And I also write in my memoir how we survived his suicide. That was in 1999.
Wow, it's very, very, still very, very hard for you to speak about.
Absolutely. Although one of the things that has happened as a result is that I've been a great advocate for erasing the stigma of mental illness and making sure that people know that most people, and in my experience especially, are not violent as they're normally portrayed in TV.
Thank you very much for
movies.
Sharing that.
Yeah, that's so important to me. I'm very, very much of an advocate and working toward that end.
Good.
I'm glad
to
hear that. What I wanted to just cut in just real quickly, what you said about the stigma about violence, some people are violent. Mm-hmm. Most are not, and some are more likely to hurt themselves. As I'm very funded. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
How it was with us. His only violence was to himself. Of course, that's a horrible violence. And this business of, is he a danger to himself or to others? Well, we always thought he was a danger to himself, but he was a very good actor. He knew how to act normal. So when we tried to get him hospitalized and the police would come, he acted so normal, they said, no, we don't need to take him to hospital. But we knew differently.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very frustrating as a parent or whoever the loved one is that's there and seeing and hearing what's happening. And unfortunately, I guess the police are only able to intervene when they see flat out this person is hurting themselves or someone else. You know how they always ask,
that's right,
are you safe? And if you don't want to stay at the hospital, you say yes, and you go home. If you don't want to go home, you say no. So it's really so limited, and being able to figure out exactly what's going on and exactly what is the best thing to do with this juncture. And you do have to be that advocate.
Go ahead, Matt.
We did get him into hospital several times, and several times he got himself out because the hospital dynamic was so difficult as well.
Well, I think that's very difficult too, because you're both talking about your child, whereas Rachel, you had and we do have for a period of time some control when they are not an adult. So you try so hard up to the point of them becoming an adult to get them as much help as possible. But once they are an adult, your hands are tied. And I know, Madeline, how you feel. I dealt with this personally in my own immediate family, of trying to take a 24-year-old literally calling because they don't want to make the appointments themselves. You call and make an appointment for it because it's your child. But when you're talking to the other person on the end of the line and they ask you, well, how old is this person? And you say 24, 25. And they say, we cannot take this appointment. They have to call themselves. You try and explain to them, but they can't. They can't do it. Hands are tied.
When he had his first break, he was in college, and because he was 21 and he asked the college not to call us, they didn't call us. A friend called us to tell us that he was sick. Otherwise, we wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Oh.
I guess that's a little different dynamic. You did not see signs, I guess, until he was 20, 21. You did not see anything.
Yeah, that's really true. He was home for a short weekend, just 2 weeks before he had his first break. It was my mother's birthday party, and he was a jazz musician, a wonderful piano player. And one of the last memories I have of him before he had his break was sitting down at the piano with his grandmother, sitting next to him, and he's playing Happy Birthday to her. He was perfectly fine 2 weeks before.
It's on the outside.
He went back to school. Pardon me?
On the outside. He was perfectly fine on the outside.
Well, and he acted normal too. So So I don't know. You know, he may have had some signs. What happened in those 2 weeks was that he was getting some recognition for his jazz playing, and he was staying up late playing music and not eating enough and drinking at the bar where he was playing. And I think the not eating, the not sleeping, and then there was a very stressful incident that happened. One of his very dear friends and classmates died of an overdose, and that really set him over the edge. And along with all of that, when he was first diagnosed, the doctors determined that he was at risk for this disorder because I had a family history of mental illness.
Ah, see. Yeah, so you had he certainly had a fragile soul, I guess, and with all of that happening, you, as you say, he seems so normal, and yet those of us who have struggled with any kind of a mental illness, you're very good actors, very, very mm-hmm. good actors, and people don't know.
They can put on the poker face.
Yeah, poker face, good. Madeline, my heart breaks for you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Rachel is going to send you out a copy of our book. I think you would really enjoy it. And perhaps you could send her a copy of yours.
That would be nice.
I would love to. And I would hope that your audience would read my book because it tells so much about the background and how we struggled. And then how we, as a family, learned to live with it and survive.
Well, thank you so much. Feel free to email me, Madeline, with your information, and I will make sure it goes on to our website. Thank you so much for calling. We do have
thank
to take
you for
a
having
break.
Me.
Thanks so much, Madeline. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a whole lot more with my great guest here, Rachel Pappas, and hopping roller coasters. Please stay with us for the next 20 minutes. Bye-bye.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power filled with humor and insight will have you screaming yes to your life. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com.
Tune in each Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose, and bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
Back on Get Focused Radio. I'm your host, Kate Hennessy, and I have my special guest, Rachel Pappas, here. We're talking about her book, Hopping Roller Coasters, and one of the reasons that I was so drawn to this story, probably on a purely selfish level, is that there were so many things in the book that really coincided with my own life. The fact that, Rachel, you dealt with not only your own struggle with bipolar, being diagnosed with bipolar, but also your child, your only child, who was also diagnosed, and then the fact that you then dealt with cancer. All of those things I have had in my life, and so it really brought home to me all of the, you know, some of the most amazing struggles. I wanted to talk about that, and that, you know, here you were, you'd been really Marina's, her protector. You'd been there for her all her life, watching her go through all the things that she went through, trying so hard to get her through all of these things. And just as you were both kind of almost starting to heal, you're diagnosed with cancer. Can you just tell us about that time in your life?
When I got the diagnosis,
yeah,
that's actually what motivated me to write the book. And it is, as you know, more about my daughter and me than cancer. Cancer comes in at the end, and the two stories tie together. But the cancer is what motivated me to write the book. And what I thought when I heard you have cancer is, well, the first thing I was, oh my God, I might die. But then the second thing I thought, and almost immediately, was Marina. You know, what is going to happen to her, and what is going to happen to us? Because by this point, she was 20. She was actually 3 years out from her last hospitalization, almost three. But it had been such a long, long, rocky, rough ride for so long. She's still a little vulnerable. You don't undo, you know, 15 years, 12 years, however many it was, in three, you know, that you've been on a better road. Plus, she and I were still fighting. Not was near as bad as before, but we were still not perfect. And so the first thing I thought when I got cancer is, what's going to happen to her? You know, what if she has a setback? And as much as that is, what's going to happen to us? You know, how much time do I have to make us better? There's so much that still has to happen, that's starting to happen. And even once it does start to happen, these good things, you know, from two steps forward, two, three steps forward, there's still a step back. And it's like, I have so much to make up. And mm-hmm. And I hope I have a lot of time to do it. And
did you find that she, well, the dynamics of your relationship changed quite a bit, because you were the one that wanted to, you know, protect her and tuck her under your wing. But Marina, she, when this happened with you, that those dynamics in your relationship changed a bit.
Yes, that's interesting that you noted that. And you want to talk about that for a minute, a couple
yes.
minutes?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Marina is my protector. That's what I would call this.
Yes, just to give you a little background first, by this point I had been her protector for so long, not the best one. I tried my best, you know, I tried my best going to bat with the schools, with the psychiatric hospitals, especially one particular state hospital where we had some rather concerning things going on. I was her advocate over and over and over again, always trying to protect her, always trying to put her under my wing. Then, when I got cancer, I'm still trying to do it, but now I'm seeing my baby become my protector, and I'm hearing it so many little ways. In the beginning, it was she wanted me to get my flu shot in the worst way, and she started sounding like me with the nagging. By this point, I'm better at being a gentler nagger than earlier in my life with her, but she's kind of like me. Mom, I don't know how many times she asked me to get my flu shot. She'd come up and bring me tea and toast in bed, and when I was wiped after chemo, and Mom, did you ask yet about the flu shot? If I had a second glass of wine, I'd get questioned about that. And one thing that really, one particular story I'd like to share, before I go into this story, she also became my goodwill ambassador, so to speak, because 3 months after my cancer diagnosis, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. And 3 months after that, we learned that my father's prostate cancer had metastasized to his lungs. And there was very little that could be done for him at that point. So my daughter became the goodwill ambassador, running down south. They live 400 and some miles away to see them because I'm here doing my treatments at home twice a week. And she was my protector, their protector. She had lived with them for a year during her struggles, as I'm sure you remember from the book.
Yeah.
So she's running down south to be with them and struggling with her own issues and her mom being sick. So now I'll go into the next protector story that really tugs at me. I used to read to her every night when she was real little, and I went in her room one night after my diagnosis while I'm in treatment, and I'm pulling books off the shelf, her shelf. She reads. She's like a sponge.
Yeah.
She's just thirsty for books, and she's got all these books all over, and for some reason this one book gets my attention. I pulled off the shelf. It was called My Sister's Keeper.
Yeah.
And I said, what's this one about? And she kind of looked at me kind of funny, and she's fidgeting a little bit, like she doesn't really want to talk about it. And then she goes, well, I don't know if you want to read that one right now. It's about a little girl's leukemia. Mm. So I nudge, I tug, I pull, and I get little by little the story, some of what the story was, and then about this little girl's leukemia and her sister who became a donor for her. She gave her her bone marrow, and then when the child continued to regress, she gave her white cells and whatever other part of her body she needed to help her sister fight the leukemia.
Yeah.
And so I get bits and pieces of the story, and then maybe it's a couple of months later, Marina and I were in the living room, and this movie comes on, My Sister's Keeper.
That's right.
And it was the movie version of the book. And we're watching, and little by little, I see there are all these things that happen in the book that she left out when I'm asking her about the book. For one, being the little girl ends up dying.
Mm-hmm.
She had a really hard ride, and she died. And well, she kind of let that little detail out. Marina kind of let that little detail out in a few other details. And we're just watching, like, in dead silence as the credits are rolling. And then Marina says to me, well, Mom, that girl's a lot sicker than you. You're not as sick. You're going to be okay. And I see her fidgeting. She had left parts of the story out to not scare her mama. Her mama, who wasn't always her best protector, though she tried, and she's looking out for me. And you would have to have been there in the family room with us, I guess. But it just was
that
like,
must
was
have
like
been,
my baby was standing between like on. The shadow of death and me and being my protector. And I just melted.
Yeah.
Because I know when you protect, you do it because this is someone you love more than anyone, and that's why you do it.
Well,
and I
Rachel,
saw
I
me
just,
in
I,
her.
In her, yeah. I just want to tell you, thank you so much, that we're going to end the show on that note. We have to go. I'm so grateful that you came on and you shared this journey. I want everyone to get out and get hopping roller coasters. And I thank you very, very much. And we will stay in touch. I want to know how you and Marina are doing. So thank you so very much for sharing that and for being on the show today.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. What a great show. I enjoyed that so much. Please get the book, Hopping Roller Coasters. It's amazing. And next week, continuing on this journey, we'll be talking with Bill McPhee, CEO and founder of Magpie Media, Inc., who was diagnosed with schizophrenia at 24, and we'll talk about his journey into wellness. For all of you out there, please enjoy what you have, the blessings we've all been given, and treasure every moment you have with each other. Please try and make a difference, and I hope to hear from you next week. Goodbye for now.
You've been listening to Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power, filled with humor and insight, will have you screaming yes to your life. Tune in next week as Kate and her guests share their secrets, talk about what almost brought them down, and offer inspiring techniques we all need in order to make our lives epic. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com and spread the juiciness of hope.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.